My kids were telling me the other day that, Dad, whenever you preach, Pastor Jamie increases the volume on the TV. Well, if you have the same problem, please increase the volume on your device. Yeah. Because even if I preach in Urdu language, I still speak in the same tone. So my Urdu listeners, they know that we need to make our ears big. Now our pastor has come. So that's normal for me. I hope you also get used to it someday, if not today. Well, it's a great day, and it's great to be at church in the presence of God with the family of God. So I'm so glad, I'm so excited. Preaching always thrills me, brings me a joy, a smile, excitement. These are the only words I know. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray and ask the Lord to talk to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for this wonderful day. This day is yours. You created it, and we rejoice in it. We are ready, Lord, to listen to your voice. Please talk to us. You know our need, and you know what we are going through. You know everything in and out, all about us. So please talk to us according to what you think our need is. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2017, we came to USA. And we had to learn many things. Many things. Maybe not language, because we were able to communicate. Tahreem can speak English, and I can, communicate. But I'm okay. And in the long list of the things I had to learn, there was one thing which always scared me. And that was driving. I was telling somebody, if I was a rich guy and I could afford to hire somebody, just one person for me, to work for me, I'll hire a driver. Yeah. I'd driven 15, 16 years in Pakistan, and it is not my favorite thing. Still not. I love Uber. You call them. They are always waiting for your call. Yeah. Ready to serve you. I love them. And those times was really good when my phone had Uber account and $50-$60 in that, and I could call Uber anytime. I didn't have to worry about the icy roads. I didn't have to worry about the directions. Yeah, I love them. I remember 2 months ago we were invited at Brother Elias and Sister Tammy's house. We drove all the way to their house, and I think we were 2 minutes away from their house. That's what my Google Map told me. And there was a big signboard, "Men at Work." The road was blocked, so we took another route, thinking that Google Map will redirect me. After 3 minutes of driving, we came back to the same point, to the same place. So I called my brother Elias. "Brother Elias, we are stuck. Come and rescue us." So he came and he drove to his house, and we followed him. It took us about 15 minutes, but we were there. It was a kind of disturbance that I didn't like. As I said, I don't like driving. In the winter, because the roads are icy, and in the summertime, I don't like it, because wherever you go, men are at work. Those men, they are really bothersome. I wish if they could replace with the woman. Maybe it will be a little bit convenient. But every time you're driving, you see the signboard, men at work, the first thing you do is you get angry. That's how I feel. Because now, either you have to slow down, or you have to stop there, or you detour. Three of these things are bothersome. I don't really like. The work on the mission road is started, I think, 2 months ago. And they said it will finish in December. And almost every day, we get late for school. Last 2 weeks ago, Brother Paul Pozzello, he dropped my kids to school when I was away in California. And when we came back from California, my kid says, "Dad, take that route," which he took. It has no signals and no traffic jam. Yeah, but anyway, it's difficult. It becomes difficult when you see men at work. Now, let me ask you a question before I proceed on. This was my response. I get angry, frustrated, upset, confused. What is your response when you see that signboard on the road, men at work?
Amen. You hit.
How do you respond?
Same as you.
Same as mine?
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm not the only person here. Okay, now second question is, what is your response if you see caution, God at work?
Praise the Lord.
How do you respond to that signboard? Interestingly, somebody said, every born-again Christian is like under construction building. Every single Christian who has accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior is like an under construction building. And a couple years ago, somebody gifted me a shirt which had words on it. Please be patient with me. God is still working in me.
Yes, sir.
And it said, caution, God at work. Now we know it or we don't know. We are aware or unaware. In both situations, God is working. He never stops working. He's always working. His work never stops. And when I say his work never stops, I'm not speaking about preaching and teaching and helping the poor. I'm not talking about that work. Because when we say, in our general sense, when we say God's work, the first thing appears in our mind is preaching the gospel. Now, when I say God's work never stops, I'm not talking about preaching and teaching. There is one work which God is working all the time and every time. He never stops working. And that is not preaching and teaching the gospel. That is not helping the poor. That is something else. That is more important than preaching and teaching the Bible. Now you may ask, is there any other work which is more important than preaching and teaching the Word of God? I say yes, there is. And that work only belongs to God. It does not include human beings. When you start reading your Bible, the first book you come across is Genesis. And we know that God is working in the book of Genesis. And we know that he started his work on the first day and he finished his work on the sixth day. Seventh day he rested. And that was work of creation. And the work still continues. It continues. Now today, my sermon is not to tell you that God is working. We are Christian and we know that God is working and he will keep working until we are in eternity. He will never stop working. But today I want to talk about just one thing, that how he works. If he's working, how he works, how does his work takes place? Where, how, and what's the purpose? Sometimes we even do not know if he's working. We can't see him working. Sometimes we see him silent. Sometimes we see him still. Sometimes we see him far, far away from us. But in those cases too, he is working. So today my sermon title is Caution, God at Work. Now when you're driving, you see caution, men at work. You do three things. Either you slow down, either you wait for the traffic to give you away, or you detour. Now when caution, God at work, you might have to slow down. You might have to just wait patiently without being angry. Or maybe he will tell you just detour. Change direction. Take a long route. But how he works, let's begin our... you have notes. If you want to just hear, you are welcome to hear, or you can follow on your notes. Okay, how he works. God's work starts in us. He starts working in us. Now, the world pattern and God's pattern of working is absolutely different. The world works outside in, but God works inside out.
That's right.
That's how he works. And when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he was talking to the Pharisees, and he said, "You blind guys, blind Pharisees, you clean your cup and platter from outside. Clean it from inside, and then it will be cleaned from outside." Jesus is always talking about inside. He always talked about cleaning from inside and then clean from the outside. And that's how he works. When Jesus was talking about to his disciples in the midst of Pharisees, he said, he told them, nothing defiles a man from the outside. He said, whatever goes into mouth doesn't defile. It doesn't make you unholy. But everything which comes out from our heart, that makes us unholy.
That's right.
That's defile us. And there was a group of people who were used to of cleaning from outside. And they got offended. And Jesus said, just leave them. Let them go. And Jesus gave them a title. He said, they are blind guides. They're blind guides. Inside out. Non-government, non-profitable organization in third world countries, or maybe here in USA too. They take people from slum and clean them and put them in nice environment. God doesn't do that. God takes people and he takes out slum from them. And then he cleans them. This is how he works. We are the government of the United States spending trillions of dollars on environment. And maybe there are millions of dollars being spent on behavior centers. God doesn't do that. God changes nature from inside, and the results are seen outside.
That's right.
By themselves.
That's good. Yeah.
That's how he works. That's how he works. Tehreem was suffering from her skin disease for last 11 years. In last 11 years, almost every month, every other month, she was on antibiotic. She had two surgeries. And now, after 10 years, antibiotics, they stopped working. And we didn't know what to do. We had no way to go. Because all the heavy potency antibiotics were used. And now it was getting worse to worse. Somebody guided us to naturopathic treatment method, and we availed that. And I remember our first appointment with the doctor. He said, naturopathic healing treatment is a very long process. You have to be patient. Doctor also said that we don't treat symptoms. We treat cause. Our healing is healing from inside out. Once she's healed from inside, she wouldn't need healing outside. Oh, she was right. He was right. In the last 2 years, she hasn't taken any antibiotic. And she's getting better every day. Healing from inside out. That's how God works. He starts his work from inside. By the way, God himself used to work outside in. But now he has changed his way. Do you know, in the past, he used to work outside in, and now in modern days, he's working from inside out. Remember the book of Genesis? First he created the world, and then he created a man and put him in the garden. Now he's not doing that anymore. He's working inside out. Now he's creating people first, and then he will create the world. The new heaven and new earth is coming later.
That's right.
First he's creating the inside material, that's you and me. So he himself has changed his way of working. And he is every day working on every individual from inside out. That's how he works. And this is one of the reasons why our industries, why our behavior centers, why our environmental centers, they fail. Because they are working from outside in, yet God is working from inside out. Inside out. When inside is strong, that strength and that joy can be seen on your face. You can tell looking at the person if he's sad or not, even if he doesn't tell you. You look at the person, his face, and you will tell, well, he's not having a good day today. I was filling my car at the gas station, and I filled my car and I shut the lid. I was being, I don't know what I was being. I wasn't angry, but I closed that lid with strength that it made noise. And I didn't know that somebody's standing behind me. And he looked at me and he said, hey, are you angry? Are you having a bad day? I said, no, I'm not having a bad day. That was just the way I did it, unknowingly. He looked at my face and he said, are you angry? I didn't see you smile. You smile and you get healed. And I smiled and I laughed. And he said, see, that's the healing. Inside out. God works in every individual, not outside in. He works inside out. When you're saved, when you have joy of the Lord, it will be seen in your eyes, in your smile, in your laughter, in your talk, in your walk. Joy doesn't have to be told. when you're joyful, you don't tell people, hey, I'm so happy. People don't need to know. It is something which is seen. That's how God is working in us. Now, how does he work inside out? His first he works in us through his word. If you have your notes in your hands, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's how he works. The Bible says that when somebody is born spiritually, when somebody is born in the house of God, in the family of God, he's not born by human effort. He's born by the word of God. And the Bible says, by incorruptible seed we are created. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of thoughts and intent of heart. This morning, Brother Don, he quoted Jeremiah 17:3, which says, heart is the most deceitful. Heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Well, here's the answer. Who can know it? There are things in us, not outside us. Outside we look handsome, beautiful. But inside us, there is something which nobody knows. Sometimes, even ourselves, we don't know. And that's the word of God. The word of God is light, which shines in the dark, deep places of our heart. And it takes slum out and throws it away.
Yeah, praise God.
The garbage, the dirt, which is not seen by us, by human eyes, word of God can see it. Sometimes when you're cleaning your house, you don't see the dust underneath the things or underneath the furniture. But if you use a torch, you can see the dirt. And you can see that there is a place which needs cleaning. This is how God works. James chapter 1 verse 18 says, of his own will begat he us with a word of truth, and we should be kind, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word which liveth and abideth forever. It not only changes us from our heart, from inside out, it also stays with us the whole time. Because it is everlasting. It is living word of God. Number two, God works in us through his people. Now, we all have people in our lives who led us to Christ, who are encouraging us always, who are always pushing us to walk on the way of the Lord, who are always encouraging us to read your Bible, hey, obey God, trust God. And we all have people in our life, friends, church, families, and people we meet in our lives. And we all need somebody who can help us and guide us. And the Lord brings those people in our lives to correct us and to sharpen us. You remember David, a great man of God? God brought him a man whose name was Nathan. Nobody could tell David that he has committed adultery at his face. Nobody could tell him. Warrior, bloody man, king, who can tell him at his face that he has done something wrong? Nathan was. God brought him a people, a person, who could work with him, who could tell him a story, who could convince him. Nathan the prophet. That kind of people we do need in our lives. And the Lord brings those people. If you don't have a friend who can talk to you, who can tell you that you have done wrong, you better find those kind of friends. And those friends, those people are blessing. Blessing. What if Nathan wasn't there? What if Nathan, he had not come to David and he has not told him at his face, hey, you've done wrong. You've sinned. Things might have different if he was not there. On your bulletin, you have a reference from Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 11. It says, all my states shall Tychus declare unto you, who is beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your heart. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister of son of Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he comes unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are the circumcision, they are only my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been conferred unto me. God works in us through the people around us. I mean, Paul is a great missionary, great evangelist, writer of 13 books. He needed people. He needed somebody to comfort him. He needed somebody to be his fellow prisoner. He was in prison, and he said, Onesimus, he's my fellow prisoner. And through him, through those people, God was working for Paul. Number three, God works in us through the circumstances. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God can and God does uses circumstances to shape us. I believe the way I am today is because of the circumstances. God walked me through, not with my own strength, but God walked me through the circumstances to shape my views, to shape my faith, to shape my character. He used it. He used all those circumstances. And if we are in love with God, if we are in love with Jesus Christ, trust me, none of your bad or good experience will go unused. None of your experience will go unused. He can take every experience and use it for your good. The biggest problem is we are not aware of it. It is very easy for me to confess, oh, this was my mistake. I am in bad circumstances. It is my mistake. I made a bad decision. But it is always hard to say, God can bring something good out of this bad experience. I'm not saying that God brings bad experiences. I'm not saying this. That God brings all the difficulties, all the unpleasant things on you so that he can work on you. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that everything that happens to you, either by your choice or by the circumstances, or by your bad decisions, God can bring something good out of it.
That's amazing.
He can work in your life from what you're going through.
Yeah.
He has, it's his ability, it's his goodness that he can bring good out of bad things. It's very easy for me to say, oh, I messed up. But I think it's faithful saying that no problem. God is there. He can use this circumstances to bring something good for me. So God uses circumstances to shape us, to make us the way he wants us to look. Okay. Number two, God works through us. It is not only that he's working inside us, but he's also working through us. Now, we are all Christian. We read our Bible, and we know that God is almighty. God is all powerful, and God doesn't need anybody outside from him to do something for him. His name is Yahweh, self-existent, which means he doesn't need anybody from outside to do something for him. If he wants to preach the gospel to the whole world in 1 second, he can do that. There is no any problem. If one angel in 1 second can kill 85,000 people, imagine what 10 angels can do. That has happened in the Bible. God sent just one angel.
Yeah.
And he killed 85,000 people in one night. I don't know how long that night was. Perhaps 12 hours. But it takes only one angel. When God was saying, who should I send? Isaiah chapter 6. He was not crying because of the lack of people. He was short on angels. Every angel was busy somewhere else. And now he's crying, oh, who should I send? Who will go from us? That was not a cry. That was invitation.
That's
good.
Now God has, no, listen carefully. God has angels to work for him. God has angels to work for him. Human beings are not created to work for him. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Human beings are not created to work for God. They are created to work with him.
That's right.
That's good.
There is a huge difference. If you are created to work for God, that means he needed some help. He needed some people to work for him. He wanted some people to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. But that's not the case. When he said, who will go from us? Who should we send? He's not lacking angels. He's not saying, oh, all the angels are busy. Who should I send now? He's saying, here's the invitation. Who will go? God is working through human beings. The Bible says that we are co-laborers with God in his vineyard. No, co-laborers means working hand in hand. And this is not New Testamental idea. You read the book of Genesis. I mean, God created the garden, and he put Adam and Eve there. How many of you believe that God could create a garden where there was no work needed?
Yeah.
I mean, God could create automatic sprinklers. I mean, God could assign angels to go and pull the weeds. God could assign angels to go and just trim the plants and do everything else. Why didn't he created a garden which will be a self-surviving garden. Because he's not creating you to work for him. He's creating you to work with him. There's a difference. He wants every single believer, every single Christian to work with him. Well, this is the reason why Jesus said. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel and I will be with you. All eternity until the preaching work continues, I'm with you. He doesn't want anybody to go alone. He doesn't need servants. He has servants, maybe billions, maybe trillions. The number is not exact. He has billions of angels who can work for him. He needs somebody who works with him. So he works through us. So what does he work through us? First thing, he works through us to reach the lost. There is something very precious and very unique which is lost. And he wants all of us to work on that. He works through us. First he found us, and now he wants us to go and find somebody else who is still lost. And of course, reaching the lost is not limited to knocking at the door. It's not limited to handing the gospel tracts. It is not limited to just spreading the paper. I'm not saying that printed media doesn't work. Dr. Bill Bright was changed by reading the Gospel of John. Somebody handed him the Gospel of John in exactly the same way you go and knock at doors and give the gospel tracts. World's biggest organization in the world. Director and founder was changed by reading the Gospel of John. But I mean is this, wherever you go, you find lost around you. Either you are at work, you're in a bus, you're traveling in train, you're on a plane, you're at the airport, wherever you are, you find people who are lost, who don't know Jesus Christ, who are lost without Christ. And the greatest problem is that they don't know that they are lost. So God works through us. He doesn't only work in us, but he works through us to reach the lost. Acts chapter 8 verse 4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Ordinary people like you and me. No apostles. It doesn't mention apostles. Apostles were in Jerusalem. These are those who were scattered, who had to leave their home and country, home and city. They were scattered. Wherever they went, it says they preached the gospel. Wherever they were, they preached the gospel. Acts chapter 14, verse 6 and 7 says, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Yeah, amen. Wherever we are, God wants to work through us to reach the lost. It's the world. We are living in a world where we don't have to go and find the lost. Wherever you go, you just come across, you meet those people, and you know they're not found yet. So he works through us to reach the lost. And second, God works through us to encourage those who are reaching the lost. Encouraging all those who are preaching the gospel, not only in here in this church, but everywhere else. We have missionaries. They are preaching the gospel in very hard places. They need our encouragement. Read their newsletters. Pray for them. Write them a note, personal note. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4 says, 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Fellowship of the gospel is encouraging those who are preaching the gospel. Either with your money or with your time or with your personal notes or however the Lord leads you. We are to encourage those who are preaching the gospel. That's how God works through us. When he's working through us, he's not only reaching the lost, but he also using us to encourage the people who are battling in the front line for you. I mean, they are doing the work you can't do. I can't do. I can't go to Cambodia. I can't go to Papua New Guinea. But somebody who's gone there and preaching, at least I can write him a letter. At least I can give him $3, $4, $10 a month. At least I can encourage him. Or if all these things are impossible, at least I can read their newsletter to get to know what is happening. Fellowship is a very strong word here. The word in Greek, it says koinonia. Koinonia is not, no. We must note that when Paul says fellowship, it doesn't mean staying together. Well, this is fellowship because we are all sitting together. And when we talk about fellowship, we always mean sitting together, having fellowship, talking and eating. Tea fellowship or dinner fellowship or family fellowship or church fellowship. No, he's not talking about, when he talks about gospel fellowship, he's not talking about sitting together and chatting against our politics. When he says gospel fellowship, that means they are supporting him in ways. That means they are connected in spirit and they are agree to what Paul is doing around. That's the fellowship. I have fellowship with my Pakistani brothers and sisters. I have. How many thousands of miles we are apart from each other, but we still have fellowship. In prayer, in preaching the gospel, in supporting each other, that's the fellowship of the gospel. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 says, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Communicate with my affliction. That was another way of fellowship. When Paul was in prison, the church at Philippi, they sent somebody to go and help him. They sent somebody to go and imprison with him. Communicate my affliction. That was encouraging. This is how God works through us. Local church. Spoken Baptist Church is a local church. Like exactly in the same way as we had in the first century. Local church. We send out missionaries, we receive missionaries, and we go out door knocking. This is how he works through us, not only to reach the lost, but also to encourage those who are reaching the lost. Number 3, God works for us. If God only works in me and through me, I will be a failed person. I will be a great failure. My success depends on God working for me. All my success depends on God working for me. When I was in training with the Campus Crusade for Christ, one of the Dr. Bill Bright wrote his first book, was titled Come Help Change the World. That was the story of how Campus Crusade was established. And in it, he says that we are all to come together and help change the world. He said, if you're a Christian, come join Campus Crusade for Christ, and together we will change the world. Well, I want to say that even if the trillion Christians come together and help change the world, they cannot.
That's right.
Unless God is working for them. Unless God is working for them. God delivered Israelites from the Egyptian, from Egypt. Now, what if God had not parted the Red Sea? What would have happened? They would die there. They will be the failure man, failure people, failure nation in the world. What if God had not worked for his people by providing manna? They will die hungry, of course. God works for us in every way, every day, in everything he does through us. First thing, he works for us. He prepares the way. Let me say just two things on this. God works for us by preparing the hearts of others. The Bible tells us that the people of Israelites, nation of Israel, when they left Egypt, they left as a rich people. Do you know how they got rich? Moses told them, the night before you leave the country, go and ask expensive items from your neighbors. Gold and silver jewelry. And the Bible says, they did according to what Moses told them. And God also told Moses, you go and tell them, borrow expensive jewelry from their neighbors, and I will prepare the hearts of those people, those Egyptians, and they will not say no. Every Israelite family, they borrowed expensive jewelry from their neighbors, Egyptians. And they were given. Why they were given? Because God said, I will put favor for them. I will put favor for you in their hearts. And nobody will say no. And next morning when they left, they were the richest nation on earth. Exodus chapter 12, verse 36 says, and the Lord gave people favor in the sight of Egyptians. So they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled Egyptians. God creates favor for you. In other words, God prepares the place for you. Sometimes you knock at the door and people just take your card and ask questions. Gospel conversations go on. We might think, oh, I'm so intelligent. This is not how it works. It's because God has worked for you. It is because God has worked for you in preparing the hearts of the people. In 2017, April, we were in the plane flying to USA. And I didn't know that God is preparing one of the pastors here to receive us. When we came here, he told us, hey, I was praying for you. He didn't know our name, but he was praying for us. I'm talking about you guys. We were scared. There were so many uncertainties. And we didn't know. Intellectually, we know that God is working for us. But it wasn't a very strong faith that God is actually working. We couldn't see it. But when we stepped in this building, we knew, oh God, I'm sorry, Lord, I was unaware. I didn't know if you were working for me. God was working for us, and he was preparing people to receive us, even we didn't know. In your life, when you know nothing, when everything seems blank, trust me, God is working for us. And trust my words, if he's not working for you, the circumstances will be disaster. Totally different situation. We knew that God is working for us, and he works for everybody. Every single person who put his trust in Jesus Christ, he works for him. Even though we sometimes don't realize, but he does work for us. Genesis chapter 31, verse 24, there's a story of Jacob. After 20 years, he left his uncle's house, and he was going to the place which God had told him. And his uncle Laban, he was angry at him. When he was approaching Jacob, God appeared to Laban, and he said, "Don't say anything to Jacob. Don't say anything to him, either good or bad." God was working for Jacob. And on his way, when he had all his possessions, his great large family with him, he heard that Esau is coming from the other side of the road. He knelt down and he said, "Lord, I am afraid. I am afraid my brother Esau will kill me." And he made some arrangements. He didn't know that God is working for him. He didn't know that God has already prepared Esau to receive Jacob with love and care. He didn't know that. Most of the time, we are completely unaware that God is working for him. But that doesn't make God not work for us. If we are unaware, that doesn't mean, God doesn't say, "Oh, he doesn't know I'm working for him, so let's stop working for him." God doesn't say that. He keeps working for us because he works in us. He works through us. So he must work for us to accomplish what he desires. Second, God works for us by providing what we need. Now, when I say provision, we always think about food and shelter. God's provision is not limited to food and shelter. We need more than that, something which is more valuable than food and shelter. Because we read in the Bible, there are many people in the Bible who lacked all these basic things. They didn't have food to eat. They didn't have place to live. Even Jesus himself, he said, "Folks have holes and the birds have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He didn't have all these things. So God's provision is not what we can see. I believe God's provision is God's grace. His grace to do two things for us. First, to save us from hell, from death. And the second thing, to sustain us. We are saved and sustained by the grace of God. Saving grace and sustaining grace is what we need. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need." His provision comes in the shape of grace. Sometimes we think maybe we need maybe better strategy. Sometimes we think, oh, maybe we need more people. Sometimes we think, maybe I need deliverance from something I'm struggling with. God must provide me the healing I need. Paul, a great preacher, three times he prayed. He said, Lord, take away this thorn from me. And the answer came, my grace is sufficient for you. God said, you don't need a deliverance. You don't need deliverance. You need grace. He didn't learn this first time. So he prayed second time. He didn't learn his lesson the second time. So he prayed third time. And the third time again, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, what are the things that we are struggling today that we believe I need deliverance from these problems? How many times have you prayed? First time? Did you hear Jesus saying, my grace is sufficient for you? Did you pray three times? Second time? Again, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Pray third time. And again, Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Many a times in our lives, we are looking and we are asking God to provide something we don't really need. Most of the time, we are looking for things which we can see. Most of the time, we are looking for things which will make our life easy. Most of the times, we are looking for things which will just temporarily make us smile. That's not what God says. He says, all you need is my grace. My grace, which can do two things, which can save you and which can sustain you. We are saved and sustained by his grace. And it is not we who decide, I need this and that. When you sign a contract paper with God, with Jesus, you say, here I sign. From now on, my life is yours. Take it and make it the way you want to look it. That's the agreement. From that day onwards, he starts working in us, through us, and for us. And he does what he finds needful for us. And the greatest thing ever we need is grace. Not the things we can see. When the disciples, they were out preaching the word of God, they were out suffering for Christ, when they were being beaten, they didn't have strategy, they didn't have strength, they didn't have intelligence. I mean, they were not highly educated. All they had was grace. God's grace saved them and sustained them in those difficult times. And that's all we need. Okay, application. If we hear all these things and we don't have application, my sermon will just be talking. So what's the application? First thing, remember, God is at work in you individually, personally. Caution. If you didn't know, if you forget all my sermon, all the stories I've told you, just remember one thing. God is working in us. And when God is at work, Sometimes you have to slow down. Slow down what you're doing, or stop. And sometimes maybe God wants you to take a different route. The nation of Israel, they had to take a different route. Read the book of Judges. Gideon, he had to adopt the strategy which God told him. Many times in our lives, we have to take a different route because God is working for us. Because God is working in us. Slow down. And the second one, God's ultimate purpose is to make us like His Son, Jesus Christ. He's working in us, He's working through us, and He's working for us, aims at the same aim. Amen. And that is to make us like His Son, Jesus Christ. He's shaping us every day. Now, we work hard to bring ourselves in good shape. God is working too, spiritually. He wants our voice to look like Jesus, the way He talked. He wants our nose to look like Jesus. You know, in Asian idiomatic language, nose is very significant organ. When somebody says, oh, he has a big nose, that means he's a proud man. So maybe God is working on your nose. I don't know. Maybe God is working on your leg, which disturbs. Maybe He's working on your hand. Maybe He's working on your ears to hear what Jesus hears. Maybe we are in habit of hearing some things which God doesn't want us to hear. I don't know. You know that, and God knows that. That where we need to change. God knows where we need to change, but if we also know, we can help God to change us more quickly, I would say. So let's bow our heads. Let's think for a minute. Let's close our eyes and think for a minute. Ask God to speak to your heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let us refresh our mind with the word that God is working in us and through us and for us. Sometimes it's very easy to just get distracted. Sometimes it's very easy to just keep on going, keep on doing things which we think are right, and not give chance to Him who is working in us. Is there anything that God is speaking to you to change? Is the Holy Spirit of God telling you to detour or slow down? If the Lord is speaking to you to slow down, please slow down. Is there anything which God wants me to get rid of? Am I hearing bad things? Am I watching things which I shouldn't be watching? Is there anything? Is there a fellowship that I need to quit? Is there a friend that I need to quit? Is there a friend that I need to make? Our great loving and merciful Father, we are thankful that You have not given up on us. You are working and You will continue Your work in us. Lord, please, please give us your wisdom and give us the boldness to detour. Give us patience to slow down. Give us wisdom to walk on the ways on which you want us to walk. Please allow us to work. Allow us. Help us to allow your Holy Spirit to work in us. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, thank you for that, Pastor Farouk. That was a challenging word. I appreciate that very much. We're going to have an invitation here in just a moment, and so I'll invite you here just as we sing to complete any last business that you have to do with the Lord. I got a lot out of that message, Pastor Farouk, but one thing I wrote down, God doesn't need servants, but I do. I was just thinking about just the humility of Jesus, that he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. I'd be absolutely hopeless without God's taking care of me. What a wonderful thing that God's willing to do that for us. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Fruit. We're going to sing. Let's just go ahead and if you're able, why don't you stand? And Brother Scott, why don't you come? And we'll sing this just sort of as a prayer, and then I'll come back and we'll pray and be dismissed. Praise God for his work in us and through us and for us. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you again, God, for today. Thank you for this message that you gave to Pastor Farouk. And Lord, we pray that the things that you've spoken to our hearts about would not quickly be gone. Lord, that even as we go forward this day and tomorrow and into the coming week, that you might cause us to remember and reflect on these things. Lord, even just for myself, I pray that when I see those road construction signs, when I have to stop or slow down or be detoured, Lord, that you would remind me of the ways that you're working. God, that we could use those opportunities even just to remember and reflect on how you work. God, it's not always what we'd expect. It's not what we would choose often. But it is right. We know that what you do is best. God, help us to have the humility to be soft clay in your hands. God, that I know that I'm often so stubborn. God, help me, help each of us to be a little less stubborn, to recognize that when you are at work, that you're producing that which we really desire, and that's to be more like you. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you that you work for us to provide those things that we actually need. God, so often we cry out for deliverance. Thank you that you know what we really need, and that's grace. God, thank you that there's an inexhaustible supply of your grace. Help us to avail ourselves of it, to trust you while you work. God, I ask you bless each and every person here and then on the live stream. Help us to follow closely after you. Thank you for loving us. Help us to love you better. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.